Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature, or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter, nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. Today is January 27th. The markets were down today, the Dow closing at 15,944, the NASDAQ at 4468, and the S&P at 1882. And I forgot to mention that I am a CPA, CFP, and AEP, and you can find us on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com, and you can also listen online at wdiy.org. And that includes links to prior shows as well. We are talking tonight about financial planning for special needs families. And even some of the planning we're talking about tonight applies to all of us, not just special needs, but special needs in particular. We are live. We will take your questions. Judy Ann is in the studio with us this evening, and we'll answer your calls, take your information, and we ask you to mute your radio so you can hear us without the delay and we can talk without confusion. We do discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments, and while we do typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic, and I'll do my best to answer them. The number is 610-758-8810, and you can also email questions through yourfinancialchoices.com. So tonight, again, we're talking about financial planning for special needs families, and I have a guest this evening, Robert Tuzeau. He is a CLU, Chartered Special Needs Consultant, and an LUTCF. I think that has something to do with insurance, life underwriter, possibly. Mm-hmm. He can tell us more about that if he'd like. Let me tell you a little bit about Robert. Upon graduating with a Bachelor of Science degree in finance from Bloomsburg University, he began his financial services career with a focus on helping business owners, professionals, pre-retirees, and retirees. He's a native of the Lehigh Valley and has spent 20 years building his financial services practice. As the father of a son with Down syndrome and a special care planner, Rob has also developed a passion and skill in working with more complex situations that typically involve children and adults with special needs. He acts as an advocate for his families and as a financial coordinator, bringing together the efforts of attorneys, accountants, and trust officers. He's licensed in Pennsylvania and New Jersey to sell life, health, and disability income insurance. He's also acquired his FINRA Series 6 and 63 registrations. He's married with four children and resides in Center Valley, Pennsylvania. He was a member of the U.S. Air Force and served our country in Operation Desert Storm. Rob's also a member of NAFA and the Eastern Pennsylvania Down Syndrome Center. Robert, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Lori.
It's his first time tonight, so, but we're very excited because he's full of information, and this is a very important topic, and I've been trying to get this covered for some time. In the past, we've had, as our listeners may know, Jack Marone, who's come on from time to time, and Robert's going to give us a little bit of a different perspective as well. We're going to talk about the financial planning needs around special needs. So I first want to give our listeners an idea of what families with special needs means. It may not be as obvious as some people think, because some needs may be mild and others profound needs nonetheless. Some needs may financially challenge a family, while others may challenge them in obtaining proper resources. The needs may be for medical care, behavioral, developmental, or learning support, or mental health issues. Across the spectrum, though, financial considerations ensue, and proper planning can help make a difference. So these families have enough on their plate with trying to navigate resources and support systems. We want to also talk about how they can implement some financial planning strategies to kind of help relieve them in that regard as well. So, Rob, I didn't give you a lot of time to say hello. Do you want to say hello to our office, our listeners, excuse me? Tell them you're with MassMutual, is that correct?
Yes, I joined MassMutual 4 years ago specifically to head up our special care planning department. MassMutual has a very good program, which is what you mentioned before, the Chartered Special Needs Consultant. That's through the American College. It's an educational process that helped me, because I have a child with special needs, you know, to kind of navigate the different systems and what I need to prepare myself for as I bring that information out to the families I help.
So you're helping them, but you also have your own experience as well.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
And how old is it your son?
My son, Adam. Yeah.
And how old is he?
He's 14 now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great, great. So let's talk about financial planning needs. And folks, if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. And you can call and talk live on air with us. Or if you're not comfortable talking live on air, you can ask your question to Judy Ann and she'll bring it into the studio for us, and then we'll do our best to answer those questions. There's a lot of complications around financial planning. We want people to have their resources protected. So why is having a financial strategy such an important topic for families with special needs?
I mean, I would say the number one reason would be peace of mind. I mean, but for the most part, like you said before, you know, dealing with all the different obstacles you have to deal with school districts and different organizations and IEPs and things like that. So there's a lot to deal with, the health issues and so on and so forth. Like with my son, you know, he has a huge speech delay, and you know, we put a lot of effort into that and helping him develop the plan for life. But there's going to be a time down the road where, you know, I may not be able to care for him just due to my own health reasons, or, you know, also at death. You know, we want to make sure that there's a good plan in place.
And with some of the support that you were talking about, there could be a financial need for that. And some of us can afford to maybe get some of the extra help that they might need, tutors or, you know, teachers or special schools. And other people may not have that available to them as much too, correct?
Correct.
So we want to think about that. So can we help people kind of picture how they can segment or put into buckets the strategies that they might have to, you know, be thinking about as they're going forward?
Yep. I mean, number one, you have to be really thoughtful about, I say to my clients, you know, that you have to address the big issues first, you know, and if something happened to me tomorrow, who's going to take over for me, okay? And then you have to have a plan in place around that. So when you have a child with special needs, because they qualify for certain government benefits that are means-tested programs, like I said, my child's 14 right now. They're looking at the parents' assets and not his. But as soon as he turns 18, he qualifies for SSI. Which is the means-tested program. So if he were to inherit money or just out of good intentions of a family member, you know, it's a plan that has to be communicated throughout your entire family. Because of that, you know, you could have good intentions for saving for education or just saving for your child in the future. And when you go to apply for those benefits, all of a sudden you're disqualified because he has too much money or she has too much money.
And what a lot of people don't always realize is those benefits that you're applying for, it's not that you want free benefits, but that there's certain government resources or programs that a special needs child would benefit from, that the only way they get it is by qualifying for these governmental benefits, correct? The only way they get into the special programs.
Correct. Like Medicaid is huge, you know, mm-hmm. For our kids, you know, and that through the school districts and the IUs that are out there. I mean, there's a lot of great institutions that are out there to help your child, and Medicaid pays for a lot of those resources. So, you know, we're very grateful to get those. But like I said, you know, there's going to be a day where that child is going to need help when you're no longer there to advocate for them. So as a parent, I'm always trying to do the most I can along with the help of the government. But again, I need a plan in place for when I no longer can do that. And that's where that comes into
right. play. So it's not only what you can do as being there and assisting, it's also being there financially. So folks, the first lesson here is you also have to communicate the plan to the family. You don't want grandma or grandpa leaving all their money to this child, which may keep them from getting some of the benefits and resources that they need. We are taking our first break. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk music offers a variegated pattern of performers and styles. I'm Tom Druckenmiller, your host for In the Tradition. Together, we'll trace the roots and branches of American folk music from the earliest recordings and performers through today's talented players. In the Tradition, Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org. WDIY, Lehigh Valley's community NPR station.
And welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. We are talking about financial planning for special needs families. And I have with me this evening my guest, Robert Touzeau from MassMutual. And he is a special care planner with several designations. And we are talking about some of the strategies that folks can use in their financial planning. And at the top of the show, I had said some of this applies to all of us. It isn't just always people who with special needs. Planning for all of us is important. And some of your, you had mentioned we have to be careful with planning when we have a special needs child to communicate all of this to the family as well, because you don't want your child inheriting, because many of the government benefits are based on needs testing, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, so we're going to talk about that in just a second. If you have calls this evening, questions this evening, excuse me, the phone number is 610-758-8810. So you said at 18, they would qualify for SSI, mm-hmm. and that's like Social Security.
Correct.
Most of us have to work to get Social Security, and that's what we've, you know, if someone's looking at a form, it's called SSA. But SSI is a benefit for...
It's for seniors, and it is for kids with disabilities.
Okay.
And Social Security retirement, SSA, what you're talking about, and SSDI are two separate programs. Which again, we can. That's something that child could qualify as well if they were to be able to work and contribute to that system. But also, when their parents retire, they also qualify under what's called the Disabled Adult Child Benefit, one half of the parents' benefit. And now they're no longer means tested, and they can move from Medicaid to Medicare. So it's a much better program. But until that point comes, you know, SSI is basically Medicaid.
Okay.
So if you earn $1 of SSI, you qualify for the health benefits of Medicaid.
Okay.
And that's what that's means tested. So,
okay, so means tested, which is why we don't want any assets to get in the hands of the child.
Right. Like, so any good intention of a family member, you know, like you mentioned, a relative that would leave money or gift money to that child, when they turn 18, they have the ability. Now the state considers them an adult. First and foremost, as a parent, you're going to want to probably establish guardianship or a power of attorney to help with those making those decisions for that child based on their need. And then secondly, they qualify for right now it's $731 a month payment from SSI. So that, first of all, they don't really even care what the disability is, because you have to re-qualify at 18. If you have more than $2,000 in assets, that child is automatically disqualified.
Now, can they, you had mentioned that they could work. So if they're 16 or 17 and they want to get a job at McDonald's, mm-hmm. can they get the SSI before age 18, or they only qualify for SSI at age 18?
At age 18.
That's when they get SSI. Okay, so let's say they want to go work at McDonald's. Can they still work and still get SSI?
Absolutely.
Okay. Yep.
Yes, but there's a dollar for dollar reduction based on the amount of money that they make. So a lot of kids, every parent should apply with their child, because, you know, for my son, I want my son to work and actually to pay into SSDI and start building that, that bucket of money for himself. So there's a lot of great institutions out there like OVR and VIA and Center for Independent Living that will give job training and coach. So any expenses that you put towards that as far as helping them get their education doesn't count towards that calculation of SSI, or transportation from to and from a job. So there's a lot of things, programs that Social Security allows that does it. But, you know, if your child makes pretty much over about $1,000 a month, it'll almost negate the whole Social Security payment, but that's okay. Now they're paying more into a better system.
So they're paying into the regular Social Security yep. system, and they're working and they're getting life experiences
right.
if they're able.
And with a child with special needs, they only have to put in, get 6 quarters to qualify for SSDI. So a lot of kids, unfortunately, it's hard to keep a job out there, you know, and the level of pay is not always that great either. So, you know, as much as we can advocate for these kids, but they come in and out of that system. So you can notify Social Security, let's say you lost your job or your hours were cut back or whatever, and now your payment will go back up again.
Okay. Yeah. All right. That's all good information. Folks, if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. So we've talked a bit about being careful about the means testing so that these kids still qualify, or adults. When I say kids, it could be, this could be someone who's 50 or 60 who qualifies for the benefits. So you want to be careful about the means testing. But Rob, if I have my only child who's special needs and I want to leave everything to him, if I'm concerned about the income or the means testing, what are my options?
You only have one, basically. You want to set up what's called a third-party special needs trust, and that's the trust that the parent or the caregiver sets up for their child, okay? That could be set up two ways. That could be set up inside of your will, testamentary, which means it's words on a paper until you pass away, and then that's when that trust becomes live. Or you may have assets that you want to gift now, and you want to start that, so you do a live trust and get a tax ID number and set up an account for it and fund it now. But essentially, a special needs trust has special language in it that says anything that government benefits provide, this money can't be used for. And it's an irrevocable trust, so it's not in the child's direct name. So you have control over it, or the person you nominate as the trustee to handle the funds is control of how that money's spent and used.
Mm-hmm. So because the beneficiary of that trust has no control, that being our special needs child, it's not going to affect their means testing. Mm-hmm. What happens then if they need a new coat, something special, a TV? That trust could pay for those kinds of things, and it would fall outside of the means testing?
Absolutely. That's why you have to understand, like, SSI basically pays for two things, food and shelter, okay? So if you were to cut a check out of that special needs trust directly to the child, or pay for rent or pay for food, that would be a disqualifying factor for that child, and now that money now becomes accessible. So anything that government benefits don't provide for, that's what that money could be used for. Trip to Disney, to buy a TV, like you mentioned, or a computer, or even to the point where, let's say there's medical benefits that aren't covered under Medicaid and they need special treatment. That money could be used for that as well.
Okay. So you'll want to make sure that if you're setting this up, whether it's a testamentary trust or a separate living trust, that you pick a trustee who understands all of the ramifications of their management provisions or whatever. Mm-hmm. So we want to talk about, how does someone think about who they might pick for the trustee. And the other item that I think folks have to pay attention to is also not only who might manage the financial assets that you've left for the benefit of the child, but who's going to help with the care of their guardianship or take them for Thanksgiving meals and that kind of thing. So how does a family kind of go through those questions?
Yeah, those are the very, very important questions that you have to identify. And when I take my families through this process, we really talk a lot about this thing. So you have two decisions you have to make: guardian of person and guardian of property. And sometimes that could be the same person, but a lot of times you can utilize a trust company as a co-trustee arrangement so that the trust is not misused. That it is not.
It has longevity too.
Right.
We're going to take a quick break. We have a caller on line one. Richard, hang on. We're going to take you as soon as we get back from our break. And Kathy, we got your question. We'll answer that when we get back as well. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Spread the word about your organization or business to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR news and locally produced music programs reaches thousands of locally engaged listeners each day. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable way to enhance your image and to provide information about your services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, call 610-694-8100, extension 6, or visit our website, WDIY.org.
I need to get a little more information.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I have with me in the studio this evening Robert Tussaud. We are talking about financial planning for special needs, and we have a caller on line one. We have Richard on line one. Richard, can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Hi, thank you for calling. What is your question?
Well, I was just, I'm probably just going to, go over something that I've already probably made up my mind about, but I would want Robert's insight into it. Sometimes I think that people who are receiving disability benefits, they have Social Security sets up a payee representative for them.
Okay.
Is that correct, Robert?
Yes, it is.
Okay. And, sometimes it would be a family member, and over the years, as people age out, I think sometimes it's a good idea to look at the status of the payee representative.
Absolutely. One of two things could happen. You could, under a power of attorney agreement with another person, you can name a new rep payee if you're not wanting to do the job or capable of doing the job, or upon the passing of that rep payee, they can name the new guardian, which would then step into that position to take over those accounts or help in those rep payee situations for setting up the Social Security check.
So, Richard, did you realize that you could actually do something like that through the power of attorney?
Oh, no, I didn't. I hadn't thought about it from that end. I had been thinking about it from the end of the person who is, getting the payments, for them to choose a payee representative, in a timely manner, sometimes to switch.
So you were thinking the recipient.
The idea that the payee representative can actually maybe designate a future payee representative hadn't occurred to me.
Because the recipient themselves may not have the capacity to choose that subsequent payee.
Right, or maybe you don't yourself have another person named. I see that a lot where there's not another family member that would be able to take over. So there are services and there's companies out there that will do rep payee services for you.
Okay, but I think it's good to think about, especially if you're the the pay representative and you realize you may not be able to do it for much longer, it might be a good idea to get that set up with the next person while you have the capacity to do so.
Correct.
That's what I was thinking. And I was just wondering, from Robert's experience, I imagine that if there is an untimely, a death of a payee representative, that could impact payments until that situation is resolved, wouldn't it?
It could, and that's why the planning is so important, that you cover all bases of that. So we're looking at the complete family picture. We're making sure that the people that you do have named are named now, so we have that. And then we look on it on an annual basis, at least, to see as that plan evolves what's going to change and who needs to be replaced and so on and so forth. But I think that you're hitting the right buttons there.
It was a great question, a great call, Richard, and I call it following the threads. Make sure we have the threads all figured out as we go along. Thank you for calling. We appreciate it.
Thank you for taking my call.
Thanks. Have a good night. Rob, we also had a caller, Kathy. Kathy called, and she said that she has a daughter with a disability who's getting the SSDI. She has two savings bonds for education. Now, what I don't know is, are the savings bonds Kathy's? Because this is off air. So are the savings bonds Kathy's, or were the savings bonds her daughter's? But they have, nonetheless, two savings bonds for education that she will not be able to use. What can she do with them? They're the daughter's savings bonds. Thanks, Judy Ann. They're the daughter's savings bonds.
Well, and I wanted to clarify, too, if she's getting SSDI, is she getting it off of the parent's record or off of her own record? That would be what I need to find out, because SSDI is not a means-tested program. So she would be able to use those funds for education. But if they are in SSI, then they're a countable asset, and that will affect her payment, for one. And number two, it would have to be spent down or used for her benefit, obviously, and until then her SSDI would be able to come back on.
So, Kathy, you mentioned that there were two savings bonds. Those savings bonds may be $50 or they may be $1,000. So if they're $50, we're not worried about the means testing if it were to be SSI. If it's SSDI, no means testing, so it doesn't matter. When you have the savings bonds, you say they're for education. Sometimes people buy savings bonds for education, but they're not restricted to education. So in your mind, you may have thought for education, or maybe an aunt or uncle bought them for your daughter. But savings bonds can be redeemed and used for whatever you want. So there's no restriction to use them for education. So as Rob had mentioned, you could redeem them, and it could be in your daughter's social security number. And if it's under the, if it's SSDI, no means testing, it doesn't matter. But it's probably even under the income tax reporting requirements if it's under a certain amount. So value them, see what they're worth. You can do that on the U.S. Treasury's savings bond website, where they have calculators for you to figure out how much interest is there. And you may be able to just cash them and use them.
Yeah, and the other thing I would mention is there is circumstances where your child may be in a group home under some state-run program, the state buyout program, for instance, where you could be getting SSDI and qualifying for the state under Medicaid and things like that. So then those assets would become accountable assets. But I would like to know how much they're worth, mm-hmm. And then there's viable things that you can spend the money on to either spend those down for the benefit of the child, it may not be accountable asset like you think it is.
So. Okay. Thanks for calling, Kathy. We appreciate it. Folks, if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We're coming up on the halfway mark. I want to reiterate something that Rob and I were talking about going out of the last break, which was when you are doing this kind of planning, if you do have assets and you want to benefit your special needs child, and that, again, child could be an adult, you definitely want to work with planners who are experienced in this area to make sure that you're doing everything properly. It may include using a special needs trust. And as we were mentioning to Richard, following the threads, when you're working with a special care planner, such as Robert or some other planner, you want to make sure you're following those threads all the way through. You want to say, who's going to be the guardian? Who's going to be the trustee? They could be different people who are managing the financial piece than the person who is managing the care. If you're going to have someone managing the care, how are you taking care of them? Do you need to make some kind of consideration for them? Do they need to change their house, put in platforms? Is the trust going to allow that guardian to modify their home to the care of the child? All different kinds of considerations that you need to go through when you're talking with a planner to make sure that everything's going to go the way you want, following any different number of options. We are going to take our next break. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Lehigh Valley weather, currently 39 degrees, tonight a low around 15. Tomorrow, Thursday, sunny with a high near 35, and Thursday night, a low of 25 degrees. Rob, I want you to listen carefully to the precipitation part of our forecast, because I have a question for you afterwards. Right? Friday, a 20% chance of snow showers, partly sunny with a high near 37. Friday night, a low of 18. For Saturday, partly sunny, high near 38, and Saturday night, a low around 29 degrees. Rob, what is the chance that we will not have snow showers on Friday?
80%.
Lori, you choose these geniuses to come in here. All right. That's what we forget about. We say, but somebody hears a 20% chance, oh, it's going to snow. We don't think that there are 80% chance it's not going
to
snow.
Well, after this last one, I like the chances better this way.
Folks, welcome back to the show. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. I'm your host, Lori Siebert, and we have in the studio with us this evening Robert Tuzo, who is a special care planner with Mass Mutual Financial Group. And we are talking about financial planning strategies for special needs families. Part of that financial planning strategy is making sure that we're taking care of, you know, supporting our special need person and either with government resources or financially, if the family wants to help support, we want to make sure they do it the right way so that our eligible recipient doesn't lose out on governmental benefits that they may need and benefit from. So we talked about special needs trust. It's a huge area. We want to make sure that people are working with attorneys who really, really know what they're doing, because it can be a little complicated. But there's even more to do beyond just having that trust. And we could talk more about that as we go on the show if we have time. But what about even more personal information? If something were to happen to you today, Rob, and maybe I assume you're married or have a wife, and what would you want someone who has to take care of your son, Adam, what would you want them to know besides just the financial care? You might have some other information you'd like to share with them.
Absolutely. There's a document that I have my families make up. It's something that is constantly evolving, but it's a document called a letter of intent. Now, we have it on disc for our families, but it's something you can even put a three-ring binder together, and it's basically a bio on your child so that the next person taking over for you would know important information about doctors, about recreation. Like my son has some sensory issues and his speech. And so there's a lot of stuff that I would want somebody to know about him that you tip, you know, without living with him on a regular basis wouldn't know. So that letter of intent, like I said, it's not a legal document, but it should be kept with your legal documents and updated regularly on things that you would want the next person to know
like
about.
Like even their favorite foods.
Oh, yeah. Favorite foods, movies, what they liked, dislikes, especially around their health issues. I call them quirks, whatever, you know, things that you would want them to know. So,
And what about caregivers? Because sometimes, too, you may have been working with a particular therapist, whether it's a speech therapist or a physical therapist, occupational therapist. You could include information such as that as well?
Yeah. It's very hard in today's world to find that special person that fits the mold for you and your child, you know. So once you finally built that team around you, and that's what it takes. It takes a team, not only just for this planning, but, you know, we're talking about therapies and things like that and the schools. It's all working together to make sure your child's, you know, advancement in life is at its highest value, you know. So, yes, making sure they know the very important things about who's doing the jobs and why.
And I would say even participating in the care as well, if they are able. So if you have someone that you're designating as the guardian, to get them involved if they're nearby. We happen to for my sister-in-law, we have a nephew who has cerebral palsy. Mm-hmm. So whenever we have the chance, they're in New York, we're here, but whenever we have the chance when we were together when he was younger, I would observe, okay, we put the braces on. This is how we put the braces on. This is where the shoes, this is what he's sensitive to. You have to be careful of gravity, you know. So there were a lot of issues that I thought it was really helpful for me to participate in kind of watching and observing some of that so that I could appreciate and understand, you know, what would be required if I were to be in the position of having to kind of care for him.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I would just add to that, you know, if you're going to take the time, which it's very important that you do that, to put this plan together, you should hold a family meeting. I do that with all my clients to make sure and communicate to everybody what their job is and if they're, you know, to make sure that they're willing and able to do that.
Well, so speaking of jobs, you have a lot of different, you know, professionals who could end up being involved and or family members and or friends, people who are going to be involved in the care of this child. So what are some of the resources available to families to kind of make this all happen and set up a plan?
Well, the resources, you know, from my end of it, I look at the financial resources. You could have the best written wills, or so to speak, out there. If there's not a financial plan backing that, you know, I think you have to be very specific on what your expenses are, what the, you know, I call it, you have to create a vision for that child. You know, we practice person-centered planning. You know, what do I envision my child, where they're going to live, where they're going to work, what are they going to do? And then as we get into more of that and developing that vision, then we start looking at the financial resources and how we can fund that plan in the future. I have four kids. So my oldest is 19, down to my youngest being 12. And, you know, right now, all of them, something happened to mom and dad, you know, they need a guardian. They need somebody to take care of them. But my three typical kids, you know, I hope get through school and, you know, get married one day, where I know Adam's going to need lifetime care. So I have to be very specific about the planning I do for him, because his condition is not, it's not temporary, it's permanent, you know. So I want to make sure at all times I'm reviewing this and making sure that it's going to work.
So this goes back to what we, again, said at the beginning of the show, that this financial planning isn't just about the special needs child. It's about making sure that you have the financial planning for the whole family. So your other children, because sometimes, too, there may be a presumption that the siblings are going to take care of the child. But that may not be such a great plan if those kids need to get through college or start their own family. So, and you want to make sure you're paying for certain things. Now, when a family is in their infancy, you've got four little ones running around, you've just started your careers, you may not have the resources to fund that financial plan. Mm-hmm. So we've talked about kids possibly getting inheritances. We've talked about special needs trust. What do we do if we don't think the money might be there?
Well,
insurance, do we have insurance options?
Absolutely. I think life insurance is probably one of the best tools to use, because it creates the right amount of money on a tax-free basis with a direct beneficiary line to a trust that is going to benefit your child a lot of times. So, yeah, you know, with financial plans, depending on where that I meet our families, you know, it's a, we have a starting point. And like I said, we hit the big things first. Who's going to take over? And then, the problem doesn't occur until the parents pass away. So that's when those plans need to be enacted and funded. So I think, yeah, life insurance plays a huge role in that, you know. And then also how government benefits play a huge role too, because there are survivorship benefits a child with special needs will get from Social Security. So all that and how they receive that. So like the gentleman that called before about the rep pay, all those things have to be put together because you're dealing with a lot of different nuances to the plan.
Let me mention the phone number again, since you had mentioned call. If we can take calls live, on air, or off air, whatever is more convenient for you. The phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. Rob, at what point, now you had mentioned, I think, for our caller, Richard, earlier about how the plan actually should be reviewed every year. So in our example about financial planning for our special need child, but also for our other children, and I said siblings, are siblings going to, you know, possibly be expected to take care of the special needs child? How often do we revisit this? When do we decide to include siblings possibly? And is there a way to give them an out if needed? Mm-hmm. Can we plan for that? When I talk about following the threads and making sure that we have all the options outlined, the vision, is this some of that that goes, is this, are these some of the items that you would address as we're going through that process? Because I might say maybe my kids would want to, but maybe my kids might not want to.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, I think that's the most important piece of this plan. It has to be reviewed annually. I make sure of that with all my clients because things are going to change. I mentioned before, my oldest daughter is 19. I think eventually she will move into that position, but I wouldn't put that on her right now. So, and she's not ready for it too. And then I would also communicate that to when she's ready. I mean, I have clients, I've been doing this for a while, and this isn't a set it and forget it kind of a planning strategy. And that goes for anybody, any family out there, you know. The tax laws change, life changes, and things, you're going to be throwing curves. So we don't want to wait for a life event, an oops, so to speak, and something's now happened, and now we have to act under duress, you know, because mm-hmm. what's going to happen is that's going to be a mess, and we don't want that to happen. So like I said, my sister is named in my documents as the guardian for my kids, and I have a co-trustee arrangement for Adam's Special Needs Trust. So it is something that you have to address. I had a client that did her will, and as I was talking to her, she went to one of my workshops that I do, and she came up to me afterwards. She goes, Rob, I need to talk with you. And she said, you know, the will I did 7 years ago names my mother, who passed away 3 years ago, as the guardian for my son. And I said, well, that's not going to work anymore. So that's why it's important that we pull that stuff out and review it constantly.
And you also mentioned co-trustee. That's something that people should realize, too. Almost anything you can vision, you can work with an attorney to make happen. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important for people to realize that they have the ability to have a co-trustee in the event that maybe they're not comfortable doing the financial piece of it. Or they may think, I'd love to try this out, but what if I can't keep doing it? So you can have a co-trustee be either maybe a friend and a sibling, or a child and a sibling, meaning yep. your child and a sibling, mm-hmm. or a corporate trustee. And a corporate trustee could help with the financial management if necessary. But typically, even there, it might be nice to have a local co-trustee who really is on the ground and sees the needs and helps make those decisions. So there's lots of options.
Yeah, I always mention, especially with a co-trustee arrangement, that there is, you know, they'll do the investing, they'll pay bills if you need them to do that, and they'll also make sure when money is requested that it's not used inappropriately and disqualify the trust. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's important.
Okay. Folks, if you have questions this evening, the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. We'll take your calls live on air or off air. If it's off air, just give your question to Judy Ann. She'll write it down and she'll bring it into the studio. We are talking about financial planning for special needs, and we're going to talk about how do you find someone who's qualified to help you navigate this to make sure that you do it right? We'll talk about that when we come back, and we'll be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and you receive a tax deduction. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love on WDIY. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7.
Welcome back to the show. This is Your Financial Choices and your host, Lori Siebert. We are talking this evening about financial planning for special needs and special needs families. And I have a guest this evening, Robert Tuzo from Mass Mutual. He's a special care planner. And this also piggybacks tiny bit to something I talked about, I think it was a couple weeks ago, the ABLE 529 is something that's going to become more available. It's similar to a college savings account 529, but the ABLE 529 is going to be a mechanism to allow folks who had special disabilities or special disabilities, I guess I should say, that occurred prior to age 26 or blindness. And I did a show on this. You can listen to the old podcast if you want. There really weren't any plans set up. It had to be adopted at the state level. It was implemented at the government, the federal level. And I just learned, I believe New Jersey has one now. So for folks who have special disability or blindness that occurred prior to age 26, there's going to be a mechanism for you to save money in a tax-free account if used for qualified expenses under the ABLE 529 for things such as, you know, medical expenses or education for the disabled person. So you can listen to the podcast. I haven't memorized all of the rules yet on that because it's still so new, but I thought I would mention that. Before we talk about some of the qualifications, and I want to make sure that we get to that, because I think it is critical that people talk to the right folks when they're dealing with financial planning for special needs. Can you give us a couple stories? I don't know if you have some off the top of your head where we can demonstrate the power of doing the proper planning.
Yes. I mean, the main reason I joined Mass Mutual 4 years ago, I left my firm just because of the fact of, I mean, you could be the best financial planner out there. If you don't understand the inner workings of government benefits and how they affect a family with special needs, the legal aspect and the tax aspects that you have the ability to learn, something will probably happen in that respect. You know, like, I'll just use an example. Like if, and this is a small example, but if you have $100,000, group life insurance policy, you know, through work and you pass away and you named your kids equally in that amount. Well, with my case, three of my kids would get $25,000. Adams, he would be kicked off of government benefits. So it's just making sure that you're working with people that are specialized in this arena. Years ago, a lot of people would just disinherit their kid, you know, and they say, I'll just give it all to my other siblings and let them take care of him. And there's a lot of problems with that. That's a method, but there could be a lot of problems with that where you have a divorce situation. situation.
Exactly.
You know, yeah. Or if they get in bad debt, and the money that was meant for that child is now going to be caught up with creditors and or maybe a divorce situation. So I believe in any circumstance that planning is key, you know, and that creates peace of mind. And it's something that will evolve over time, but you hit those big things, and I think it's important.
And mentioning the beneficiary designations, we already see often enough that people who don't have special needs children don't have the proper beneficiary designation set up. We see it all the time. A lot of times people will think, well, I'm married, my spouse automatically gets it, and that's not necessarily so. Sometimes they'll name their spouse as the primary beneficiary, and they never fill in the contingent beneficiary so that if something happens to the primary, you know, if you have like a simultaneous death or something, there's no contingent beneficiary filled in. So if you haven't done that, you're relying on then the default beneficiary. And some companies, the default beneficiary is the estate. If you have a special needs trust set up, it might still work out, but sometimes it's not the proper language, or a default beneficiary might be your children. Right. And then you're right back to where you just mentioned. So folks, no matter what your situation is, it's very, very important. Estate planning is important for all of us. Less than half the people, I think, in the country have the proper estate planning documents. You want to make sure that you see an attorney, get your wills, power of attorney, health directives, and that you coordinate it with your beneficiary designations and trusts if you need them. They could be testamentary trust under the will, or it could be a separate trust. But you want to make sure that you have those primary beneficiaries and contingent beneficiaries completed to avoid unforeseen circumstances of assets going to an estate or assets going to a special needs child, which will kick them out of the government assistance. So that's really important. So how does someone know that they're working with a financial professional who might be experienced in this area?
I know
you have the special care planner.
Yeah. And the reason I did that is because I come at it from a parent's point of view. You know, I do everything for my kids that I can to make sure their life's better. And if I'm not here in order for that to happen, I want their lives not to change or skip a beat. So I want to bring that over to the families that I work with. So we'll do a complete overhaul of their financials. We'll look at everything from their car insurance, their life insurance, government benefits, their wills and trusts. We'll read over all those things, IRAs, investments, and then we will make sure that they're all, once we put the plan in place, they're all coordinated together. As I said before, you know, you could have the best legal document in the world, but if it's not coordinated with your beneficiary arrangements, then it's not going to work, you know?
Well, and you mentioned auto insurance and homeowners insurance, and yeah. Our listeners might be thinking, what does that have to do with anything? But what's our big fear there?
Well, a lawsuit.
Lawsuit, know? Risk, yeah. Folks. So you want to make sure that you have all of that managed, because you could be thinking that you're building up this nest egg for your children or your special needs child, and it could all be gone in a heartbeat if you didn't have your proper risk management
right.
looked at as
yeah.
well.
I use acronyms a lot of times. I mean, I think a lot of times people, their financial plan, they're walking around with, I call, financial high blood pressure, you know? Yeah, unless you're checking in and making sure that it's not, you know, if it's not coordinated, you know, you don't want to have that heart attack down the road. But if we can, you know, dig through that and find out now, we can do something about it. So the earlier you get started, and the better.
Right.
So, yeah.
And I always say, too, that if you plan, nothing happens. It's when you don't plan. And that's, you know, that's that extra stress. That's that financial, I love that saying, financial blood pressure, high blood pressure. That's great. Mm-hmm. So you have this special needs planning designation. So obviously, because your son, that's what led you to that?
Absolutely, yeah.
Now, were you in the financial business before, mm-hmm, though? So you had been doing regular financial planning and advising?
Yes, absolutely. And so those two things kind of merged together. Mm-hmm. I kind of dabbled in it for, you know, like my son's 14, but 4 years ago when I got introduced at Mass Mutual, they have a specific program called Special Care, and that gave me the training that I needed. So that's the reason those two things met, and I knew what I was going to do the rest of my life. So I'm very specialized and dedicated to families like my own and helping them make the best, you know, the decisions and maximizing, you know, you only have so much money and assets coming into the, and you want to make sure that they're going to do the best for your family.
Mm-hmm. Any other things that we want to talk about that we didn't touch on that we went over a little quicker? Because we have still plenty of time. I thought maybe we could, do we want to go back to special needs trust? Let's talk about the special needs trust a little bit.
Okay.
So the special needs trust, what kind of provisions might a family want to put in a special needs trust?
Well, first you want to name the person that's going to manage the trust.
It could be the same person, or it could be
a trustee arrangement, or even if you, I have clients that don't have family members or anybody that could take over that role. So there are attorney firms and things that would act in that capacity. There's also organizations that would do that as well. There's pooled trusts as well. There's several organizations that have special needs pooled trusts. So basically, you name that trust of the organizations like the ARC or something like that, where the money goes to them and they manage the trust for your child. And then upon the death of that child, then that money stays in the pool for the benefit of the other kids. Okay.
So for the pooled for the other kids that are in that pooled trust, not your own children. So that
right.
So that could work if your only child might be a special needs child.
Correct.
We see a lot of those cases.
You don't have other siblings, or there's no other family members, you know, or other family members are older and wouldn't want the job and wouldn't do it anyway. So mm-hmm. It depends on the size of your family. I've been blessed with a lot of kids, but my dad is the oldest of 11, so we have a lot of family members that are really in, you know, would care for him, you know.
Yeah, so, yeah. And what about providing for housing? So we talked about some of the governmental programs may provide for housing.
Yeah, there's group homes.
But, okay, so group homes, though, could a special needs trust also cover the cost of a group home?
No,
because you said that would be one of those.
Right. So any money that would be in there would be to benefit on top of those things that you would do. Sometimes if the situation occurs, a special needs trust could own the primary residence for that child once the parents pass. So there's stipulations. Like I said, everybody's family situation is different. That's why, you know, you start with who's the players and who's going to be doing the jobs and roles. And then you start developing that vision, and then the plan starts to evolve around that child and their family.
Okay. And when we also talk about special needs, what about maybe I hear people sometimes say, well, my child has autism or they're on the autism spectrum, so they may be totally capable. Is there some measure of when something is special, when someone is special needs or not, whether we need to worry about the governmental benefits? Like, what does it take to be considered for the SSI or SSDI?
You have to qualify under the definition of disability that Social Security allows. I have many friends of mine that their son or daughter is high functioning with Asperger's or on the autism spectrum. And they don't qualify just because of that fact, and that's okay, you know. So you can just have a normal trust for them if they're not in the government benefit system. But if that should ever change down the road, you can also change with that. But
that's great, and that's part of the planning strategy too. So yeah, you may set up a trust that says money for my child during their lifetime for these certain needs, these, you know, health, education, maintenance, and support. But if at any time they would qualify for governmental benefits, this other provision kicks in.
Correct.
So that those benefits are protected.
Yeah.
So lots to know about special needs planning, and we want to make sure that folks are working with the proper people. Now, you had mentioned that you're involved with the Eastern Pennsylvania Down Syndrome Center.
Yeah.
So how does that factor in? We have it 1 minute for you.
It's a great organization. Yeah, I grew up, my cousin, John, he was born with Down syndrome. He was the same age as me, and so the day I knew, the minute my son was born, that he had Down syndrome, even though they wouldn't verify that. But the Down Syndrome Center are notified as soon as there's a child born. They come to you, they help you out. They've just been a blessing in my family, because you get to see kids, you know, and parents that have kids in their 20s and 30s, you know, and what to expect. So they've been, and through the years, they've done multiple workshops and education. There's a doctor on staff. We do the buddy walk every year. It's a big family, you know, and I think I don't know what I'd do without them.
And how do people reach you, Rob, if they have questions?
Sure. My telephone number is 610-798-2567. Our website is www.easternpa.massmutual.com.
Oh, that's a mouthful.
Yeah.
Easternpa.massmutual.com. And there's information about special care planning on your website,
yep,
as well?
You just have to click on the special care planning tab, and there's many documents, but there's information. My bio is on there, and there's a way that you can connect that way.
Okay. Thank you so much for being here. Lots of information, lots of important information, and a great, great purpose that you have there. So
thanks
for
having
me. Thank you so much for being here. Next week, I'm having Mark Basic from Social Security. It's been a while since he's been on, and we're talking about the changes in Social Security that we just went through. And coming up next, we have Tom Druckenmiller within the tradition folk music. Remember, pay attention, be proactive, not reactive. Thank you, John. Thank you, Judy Ann. Thank you, listeners. Thank you again, Rob. Make the best of your financial choices. Have a great week.
And you too, Lori, and Rob also. Welcome to WDIY. You're listening to WDIY Allentown. This concludes Your Financial Choices. Next up, we have news from NPR, and then stay tuned for In the Tradition with Tom Druckenmiller. The time is 7:01.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Speer. A violent confrontation between police and armed occupiers at an Oregon wildlife refuge yesterday. A man was killed after law enforcement officials stopped group members on a road not far from the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge, which they took